we got to give a special birthday shout out today to our friend Rob Maloney's daughter, Amy, celebrating her 15th Ooh. Birthday today. So from all of us to you, Amy, a very happy birthday. I hope it's a wonderful day. Demand that your dad give you $1,000 in cash because he has it on his person at all times. So make sure you get that $1,000 cash from your dad. Make sure you get the dinner that you want. Don't let him take you to someplace you don't want to go. You get to pick the meal. You get to pick the cake. It is your day, and you can double flex at your father for that. So, Amy, happy 15th birthday. We love you, kiddo. Enjoy school. Enjoy your birthday, and enjoy that man, Rob Maloney.
Yeah, flex. Happy birthday. Spoil the hell out of her, Rob.
Seriously. Go for it, Rob. I know you told me you were going to take her on that trip. Make sure you announce that to her right now.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, take her to the trap.
Steak night.
Get her a pizza. Dude, steak night's back at Hy-Vee.
Yes.
I didn't know. I got hit with that out of
Thursdays,
nowhere.
Every Thursday.
Oh, I went there last Thursday to pick up food for dinner and to make it the house. And I was like, oh, no. I opened the door and I was like, kind of want a steak.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So well, good. The one that you cooked the other day, though. Really nice job.
I kind of overcooked it.
Where you did it in the cast iron, you said, right? And yeah. It's hard. It's not easy to do, right? And
Max said I got an eye roll from his fiance because she's like, is he like trolling? Because that looks perfect.
It looked really good. Said, yeah.
It bent. No, he's doing the thing, which I know he's a good cook, so he's got the perfection, but he's doing the thing that's the worst to other people. Where it's like, only a little bit of pink. Oh, yeah. So sorry.
I saw that picture that Dusty sent me, and I said, and the first thing I thought of, honest to God, was like, I'd love to have somebody come over and cook me a meal. I don't care what it would look like. If that's considered over, that would have been delicious.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Right?
Crust looks
immaculate. And if you're making food for somebody and they complain about it, they can go F off. Seriously, like if you serve that to somebody and they went,
no, it was very delicious. It was just a perfect medium, and I prefer medium rare.
Medium rare. That's all right.
Now, the outside edges, that was pure center cut. That was a 5-minute rest, and that's what the result was.
How long did you cook it on each side for?
About 2.5 minutes.
2.5 minutes on each side.
So I came to two realizations. One is I'm obsessed with Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, it's so good. The Liam Perrins is the good stuff.
It's got to be in the paper wrapper.
Yep.
That's the only
bottle. That's how you know it's classy.
Because they only have two. They have two bottles. One is just the plastic bottle with the paper off it. The other has the paper you take the little gold strip off.
Yeah, that's better stuff.
That's what I love. And I also realize, and this is very tough for me, because I am a charcoal grill savant. I will stand by Weber's till I die. The best way you can cook a steak is in a cast iron skillet.
I need you to help me.
Okay. Very easy.
Because I get the skillet hot, but then I see all the smoke and then I start to panic.
So you need to use avocado oil.
Yeah.
It doesn't burn as bad.
Right.
Turn that little vent on above your stove.
Of course, yeah.
And then open up your kitchen window, which I know you have plenty of those. You have one right kind of next to the grill or to the stove.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just airs out. Now your house is going to smell like you cooked a steak, unfortunately. Darn.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
But normally your clothes are in the closet. They're not in the kitchen, so it shouldn't reek. But I came to that realization. So yeah, I got the 12-ounce ribeye. Did the avocado oil made my pan super hot.
No butter, no tallow, no
Not till like towards the end.
Okay.
So sear it down hard, 2 minutes, flip it, 2 minutes. And then after that 2 minutes is up, I'll flip it again. Then I'll throw like the chunk of butter, the garlic and the thyme in there or rosemary.
Right.
And then you do the splash I did it for a minute and then I flipped it again, did it for a minute. Now, if I do it again, I'll sear for a minute.
Now, when you do the splash, you have the pan tilted.
Mm-hmm. And you have to use a
glove, obviously. It's all cast iron. My God, yes. Do not touch that.
And
handle.
The only reason you do that is so you can easily scoop it with the spoon,
which
is the famous Gordon Ramsay way to cook a steak. And if I did it again, 12-ounce ribeye for sure, I would do 1 minute sear, 1 minute sear, then flip it and start the bathing process. And then you let it sit for 5 minutes and then you enjoy and you get what Max said. You get that crust. It's super moist in the middle of it. It like the outside of it got redder, obviously, because it's, away from the center. But it was still delicious. But I did come to that realization that, A, I have to have Liam Perrins in my house at all times. And because I'll use it on like combination fried rice. I won't use soy sauce anymore.
Oh, that's an interesting twist.
I'll use Liam Perrins and I'll use the Japanese barbecue sauce.
The Japanese barbecue sauce is just
nails.
Such money. It's so good.
So nails. And so, and the other realization I came up with is that the best way to cook a steak is in the cast iron.
So did you use a press to keep the steak down? Just let it sit there for a minute.
Because it was so hot and, it's not going to burn because that's what the oil's there for. So that's just the way to cook a steak.
Another dumb question because this is the introvert side of me not wanting to mess it all up, right?
Mm-hmm.
do you put the oil in first?
Yes.
And then, or do you heat the pan and then put the oil? Because I've seen some people say heat the pan, then put your oil
in. You can. I do the oil and then crank the pan heat up. And then when you start to see that little smoke tornado, you know the pan's hot enough. And then it literally only takes you about 5 minutes to cook it total.
Yeah.
And if you have a big enough cast iron, and I didn't eat all that steak. I ate half of it. You and your wife could split that easily.
It's amazing when you buy a steak. Like when you go out to a restaurant and you get like, say, a 16-ounce strip and you eat that whole thing. You cook that thing at home and you pre-slice it. That one steak or maybe two would feed a family of four and nobody would be hungry. But you go out to a restaurant and everybody has one of those by themselves.
Bobby, I could eat that whole thing, but I would not have liked the way I felt. So I was perfectly full, and it's the new thing I'm doing where I'm intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
And it's just, you got to tell yourself you're done.
The other
half it all sliced up and red and everything. I was like, man, I could
See like on some ciabatta bread with like some butter and garlic butter and like warm that up. And now you got yourself a steak sandwich with a little jus on the side.
Or you could chop up a Caesar salad and then do your steak Caesar.
That horseradish sauce, like from Arby's, you know, the horsey sauce. That's really good on a steak too. So what else I like? Have you ever gotten the wasabi sauce that's in, it's in by the soy sauce and stuff.
Yeah, it's like green.
It's green.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal.
Basically horseradish, but
yeah, it's fantastic on everything.
That's what I've discovered. So cast iron is the way to go. So cook your fiance or cook your wife a steak in the cast iron and get back to me. Cause it's kind of the same thing as the Blackstone basically.
Yeah. Except you don't have to go outside and
Sure.
The Blackstone is fantastic. The worst part is the cleanup, because that's the last thing you want to do when you're done.
Yeah. By the way, we have a, Richard of the Week nominee. This is what it sounds like with this text.
Hot.
Looks like I'll be, what's it say? Look, think I'll turn to the Food Network to get my sports. Sweet. Here's a sports story for you. Brock Lesnar's son, Turk Lesnar, dominated in his ice hockey league playoffs today. This is literally this man's twin. The video has been retweeted by myself. Brock Lesnar has a monster of a child who plays hockey. And that is just somebody. And if you watch the videos, it is as advertised, dude. Brock Lesnar's son is an absolute unit on the ice. I mean, just
is
checking,
he good,
dude.
Or is he just beating? Is he the goon?
I don't know. It's from Fadeaway Media on Twitter. His name is Turk Lesnar. He's
Turk Lesnar.
Because his daughter, I think, is a fighter and looks just like him, too. And then his son's hockey player, and he's just he's just a unit on the ice, dude. Not ground, ice. But we did get a new nickname in the Royals organization, made by yours truly, the manager. Matt Cotrero has a nickname for, Carter Jensen.
Carter Jensen, he's my pick to win the AL Rookie of the Year, and I'm going to talk about it right now with Matt Cotrero. How good can this kid be? I am so impressed by him. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I hate to put a ceiling on somebody, right? Because when you see, really, let me back up to like what really impresses me about him is 2 years ago coming into camp, I didn't realize that he was only like 19 years old.
Crazy.
Handled himself exceptionally well in the clubhouse, on the field, sponge, and then go to that offseason. He lives in the Kansas City area, and I'm seeing him at events at the stadium. He's hitting in the cage. He's a rat, and it's one of those guys that like, he's going to do everything in his power to be as good as he can be. And when you break out like he did last year, you got to think sky's the limit.
He's a rat. Love it.
I've never heard that term used before. Like gym rat,
Yeah, he just left the gym out of it because he's not in the gym. He's in the cages. He's on the field. He's in the tunnels. Yeah. He's everything. So text line 913-586-7965. Tell me your most famous rat.
My famous rat is the rats that were in Muppets Take Manhattan that cooked in the diner and ice skated on butter on the hot flat top. Those are the rats that I like.
Because Royals Review, who does good work for the Kansas City Royals, they put all their like big rat names up there. They had one from Harry Potter.
Ron's rat.
Yeah, they had others. I said Templeton from Charlotte's Web.
Oh, that's a good
one. That's a good one, yeah.
Look here, Charlotte. The eggs are always free. You just come over here, Charlotte.
Yeah.
So Templeton would be my vote for most famous rat, or Mickey Mouse. I don't know if he's a rat.
He's a mouse. It's in the name. It's literally in his name.
Yeah, true. But you can also...
Little Stuart. I don't know if he's a mouse or a rat.
Stuart Little?
Mouse.
That's
little
a mouse.
Little Stuart. Hello. Stuart Little.
Stuart Little? Yeah, that's a mouse.
Because then you got...
Ratatouille. Remy.
Yeah, he was another one they had mentioned.
Yeah, Remy comes in at number one.
What about Ratican from...
Rizzo was the rat that I was talking about from the Muppets. I couldn't remember his name.
Rizzo. Yes, I do know that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, then you got Ratican, guy from the Sherlock Holmes version, the Great Mouse Detective.
Every office has got a rat.
Mm-hmm. True. They do. Or a squid. Happy birthday, Miss Maloney. Rob, you get that. I think that's great that you have this guy on this team. Because what has Vern said this year? Both have to be good or one has to be great. You have Jack Caglione last year who had all the midseason drama because of what he was doing in the minor leagues. And then this year you have the preseason drama, maybe not drama, but hype for Carter Jensen. Because I know a lot of people, my friend group and a lot of people on the text line have said they have taken a waiver on Carter Jensen to be Rookie of the Year. Could you imagine a perfect season for the Kansas City Royals, right? Cags gives you 30. Bobby gets you the MVP. Reagans is a Cy Young candidate, and you've got the Rookie of the Year candidate. You should be a playoff team.
Well, you have all of those that are legitimately available to happen. I don't know the last time that we actually sat here and said legitimately the Royals could sweep all the categories for the awards at the end of the season, right? MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year. I would imagine if that all happens, maybe somebody recognizes who Matt Quatrero is and decides to give him Manager of the Year rather than just give that to Boone. There's a real possibility that all three of those awards can be taken home by everybody here in Kansas City, and that would be outstanding if they were able to do all of that. But again, like with Carter Jensen, much like Cags, I just want to see the guy play. I'm not going to, as Q said, like, why do we want to set a ceiling for what this guy can be, or even like a floor for what this guy can be? Let's just go out there and not have expectations and just let these guys play. But we don't live in that kind of society. I get that. But the older I get, the more I just want to appreciate what these guys can do and not sit there in my seat or watching a game wondering if he's going to meet the expectations that I set for him. The expectation for me is to watch the team win. I know it doesn't work that way for Artie Moreno and the Angels, but for the rest of the world, I just want to see the team win, and I want to see those guys contribute to this team winning. And so I'm with Q 100%. That's setting any ceilings for these guys or whatever you want to talk about. Just go out there and play and have fun and make us proud to root for you guys. That's all we're asking.
Some rats that are coming in. Master Splinter takes the cake. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yep, that is a good one.
Yes. Another Templeton, the rat from Charlotte's Web. You've also got Chuck E. Cheese. Very scary rat.
Yeah. It's a very scary place.
Somebody says Tom and Jerry. Jerry's a mouse.
Jerry's a mouse. Yeah.
Jerry's a mouse.
Yep.
Somebody says Rat the Band.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Round and round. Yeah.
Round and round.
Oh, man.
Goes around, comes around, round and round.
Mr. Jangles from the Green Mile.
Was he a rat or a mouse?
He was a mouse.
He was a mouse, yeah.
A lot of mice, yeah.
Yeah, see, you got to know the difference between the rat and the mouse.
Come on,
a mouse is, like, really cute, and a rat's like, like with the... And they got the whiskers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the noise I'm looking for. Yes. Mice are kind of just like there.
And someone's asking the question, how can Carter Jensen win Rookie of the Year and Jack Caglione can't? I think it's like
Cags has too many bats.
I think it's ABs. Yeah, or plate appearances.
Yeah, plate appearances maybe. Yeah, probably.
And Carter Jensen only had, 60 at-bats last year. And Cags played way more than he can. So that's the reason that is. For that sort of stuff. You have a lot of people out there that are taking flyers on Rookie of the Year and Carter Jensen. But the thing that I've noticed about this Royals team is that they're developing likable personalities within the team. And one thing baseball struggles with is personalities, because there are probably what you could say six guys on this team that everybody in Kansas City is more so, gravitated to. Like, you can go back to the 14 and 15 team and you were a Moose person, a Kane guy, a Hosmer person. Maybe you were, Johnny Cueto guy. I don't know, probably not, but like maybe one of the, but there was like three or four, right? Salvi, Kane, Haas, Moose, Eske.
Yeah.
Those are about the five. This team, you're starting to develop more and more of those guys that are going to gravitate behind this team.
Well, maybe Wade Davis and,
Yeah, I think.
Holland, maybe.
I don't know, there's
maybe
a lot of people out there being like, man, Wade's my dude, right? Yeah. Like, we loved Wade in the moment, but
yeah,
I don't know if
that's
you're
fair,
right?
Yeah.
So with this team, you have Bobby, Vinny, Sal, still. Cags, Carter, Mikel's a lot of people's guy.
Yeah.
And that's six guys on your roster that people will, tend to kind of gravitate to or have their person. And then if you can put that sort of, formula together and win, that's what's going to turn this town blue again in October. And that's what's really going to show out. And now we just need the team to do it. Mm-hmm. Because last year they told us in spring training, we will be in the playoffs. We are a playoff team.
We're a playoff team.
And fell short. This year, they're not really saying that, but obviously people getting there earlier, whether that's World Baseball Classic or whether that is, I want to get ahead of it because I have the World Baseball Classic coming up. You're seeing that eagerness from the Kansas City Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. is always going to be in the top three, perennial MVP candidacy in the AL. And Vinny Pasquantino's the mouthpiece. Salvador Perez is the captain in the face. And then Carter and Cags are the kids, and Mike Hill's kind of the silent assassin. So I think there's a lot of hype around this team. I just need that hype to stay through the season and be consecutively good throughout the season, because the last thing we need to see is a fallout early on, because yeah. the buzz that the World Baseball Classic has potential to give, followed up with, like, how many people that are diehard hockey people are like, I'm ready to get this thing going. I'm ready to
watch. I just saw a tweet this morning, the NHL returns tonight, and everybody's celebrating, you know, because of how good that was on Sunday for everybody. But I also think, too, with the World Baseball Classic, Dusty, I'm just going to be honest here. Once the World Baseball Classic's over, I don't ever want to hear that mentioned again, because the last couple of times we've had these World Baseball Classics, we've used those as an excuse for the entire regular season, right? And I'm not just talking Kansas City. I'm talking, you know, baseball. In general, that baseball people are, you think I've got my routine, right? Baseball people are worse off than I could ever be when it comes to routine and doing the same thing at every point of every day. And this kind of gets in the way of that. And baseball folks are not flexible at all. They do not know how to, you know, veer left when they're supposed to be going right. They just don't work that way. And so this World Baseball Classic right in the middle of spring training gets in the way of what they're normally doing. I just don't want to hear that as an excuse if somebody doesn't have a good season. It's not the World Baseball Classic that's going to mess them up. They're not going to have a good season because they just weren't destined to have a good season. To me, it has nothing to do with the WBC, and they use that as an excuse for a long time after that 23 one. And so I don't want to hear that again. This is a great opportunity for these players to get the feel of being in regular season and postseason baseball when they normally aren't. And you've got to use that to your advantage with the competition that's going to be out there in the WBC. You're not getting competition in spring training. I've been there. I've seen the spring training games. As much as I love them, it's not competition. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to have their, you know, their adrenaline going for this World Baseball Classic. And it's something that you truly can take advantage of and kind of get the regular season feel early on, or postseason feel early on, Dusty. And to your point, not have a terrible April where you come out of the gate slow because you're not ready.
Couple names I might have forgotten on those teams. Alex Gordon, obviously one, and Jerod Dyson was another person that was somebody's guy. Maybe not on the popular level as, you know, those other guys, but Dyson was definitely the guy you wanted to see do the backflip in center field after they won a game, mm-hmm. or do the That's What Speed Do dance, stealing the base. Something I'm not going to do is what the Milwaukee Brewers decided to do, which was throw a 104-mile-an-hour fastball.
Well, it was edited.
Yeah, but again, like, that is something that can get the minds thinking that somebody could possibly do this.
Yes, and that's the scary point. Kids are going to go out there and try this.
They animated a guy throwing 104-mile-an-hour fastball.
Mizorowski.
Yeah, off of a head of a human being.
Hitting an apple?
No chance. But if you had to pick a guy.
If you haven't seen this yet, it is incredible. It's some guy sitting in a chair, Mizorowski's on the mound, throws the ball, and it hits the apple off the top of his head. It's like amazing, right? And then they talk about how they did it. Their PR team or their media team went out there and created this video to make it look real, right? And it's just, it's exceptional.
It does look really real.
It looks real.
Oh, yeah.
They did a great job. Now, somebody did break down the frame by frame. It was like, you can see the apple exploding before the ball hits the apple.
Makes sense.
You know, but it was fun. Get you thinking, if you had your life on the line and the only way to save your life was to pick somebody who would knock that apple off your head without touching you, who are you choosing for that? Because for me, it was Nolan Ryan.
He was a wild man, though.
I think he's got pinpoint control. And your choice is obviously really good. But no, I trust Nolan. I do.
Not in that situation. I trust Nolan to give me 9, but he was a wild man. That's why that's why he went from the Mets to the, the Rangers immediately? Or Houston?
I think it was Angels first.
Angels.
I think Mets, Angels, then Houston, then...
And he couldn't hit the strike zone, so that gave me fear. My
early,
choice,
though.
Yeah, my choice would be Greg Maddux.
Perfect. That's a great call. I mean, that is a brilliant answer.
Just because you talk about pinpoint accuracy, couldn't throw over 90, but man...
You don't need that.
He could start it out left and just nip the black, and people would just tip their cap.
Yep.
Like, whenever I see a video go up through my algorithm on Instagram or Twitter, it's a Greg Maddux-like video I will watch because I'm just mesmerized at how great the Mad Dog was at just ableing to outsmart everyone. And he looked like a professor on
the
mound.
He did. Yep, like, that's the thing.
And if I'm like, hey, dude, apple's right here. Can't touch this. I need this. He's going to hit that apple.
You're probably right about that, yeah. He is a good choice.
Yeah, but, I would just put the... Livy Dunn's like face over mine, and then Paul Skeens.
There you go.
That way,
she finally did step in the batter's box against him.
Oh, really? I missed
that. Yeah,
they
were. She's like, my biggest fear has been done, and she's in the batter's box, and he throws probably like 80.
Yeah, he's not still ripping it. Yeah.
And she doesn't even flinch. She never saw it.
Yeah, he's lobbing it up there, and she's like, whoa.
And she
yeah,
just stands there, and she's got the little like pencil bat they use every once in a while. And she's like, all right, because it goes back to a story my dad had when he went to Missouri State. He was just friends with the number one tennis player. And he was like, all right, you ready? He's like, yep. And the guy served it. My dad's like, waiting on you. He's like, it's behind you.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, all right, had a good time. See you later.
Thank you. Take care. Yeah. And that's not even like professional level. That's college. No, it shows you how good athletes are.
He was probably serving at like 90. And my dad just stood there on the back line, just, you know, a little nerd, Kurt, like, all right, whenever you're ready. Ready when you are. Like, it's behind you, Kurt. Pick it up and serve it back over.
There you go. Thanks.
But yeah, that'd be a hard no for me with anything like that. The hand on the dartboard, you see people do that.
Yeah.
And they show you the next morning photo and it's all like, you know, swollen and infected because those darts are disgusting. But yeah, I've never been one of those. Like you see them in golf all the time. The guy will stand like 30 yards away and be like, hit your driver over my head right into the chest.
Yeah, I'm good.
Because I saw a last place fantasy football bet. Guy finished last, had to get on his knees, put a bucket over his head, and the guy was 10 yards in front with a driver, hit him right in the chest.
Oh, God.
I'd rather just not play fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly. That's just stupid at that point in time.
Gosh, man. There's just no way I'm putting an app on my head and letting somebody do that for me. So,
you seriously got to be some sort of a masochist to sit there like that.
You have a lot of confidence in your friend throwing that. Coming up next, Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator. What that means for other players on the team as well. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.